In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For those of us who grew up with either the old prayer book or write one of the current prayer book, and I suspect there's some of you out there, we may remember hearing the summary of the law every Sunday. The words we heard today from Matthew's Gospel: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I was a teenager. Hearing these words said by Father Van Wely week after week was a powerful reminder of what God calls us to do, and I found a beauty in its simplicity. But just because something is simple doesn't make it easy. For instance, it is not easy to love those who hate you. But that is what Jesus tells us to do. In chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Following Christ's commandment to love our neighbors ourselves is work, or maybe better, a vocation. I say vocation because loving God and our neighbor is something we pursue over the course of our lives. When we wake up each morning, we begin that vocation anew. So in a sense, we start each day needing to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to love God and our neighbor? We make a lot of assumptions about that word, love. And what we think of when we hear the word love is often romantic love. And we associate love with great intensity of emotion. I remember that when we were kids, we thought the word love was so intense, so powerful, that we were careful not to get too close to the word. So we had three levels of affection: like, love, and like-like. As in, do you like her or do you like her? You could say you could like Ariane Schreiber or you could love her. But there was that third, intermediate, risky but not too risky option. You could like Ariane Schreiber. And if you're wondering, yes, I did like Ariane Schreiber. But I would never have said that I loved her, mostly because she ran off with Doug Unis, who was up to that point my best friend. And you may remember the Cars song, "My Best Friend's Girlfriend, and She Used to Be Mine." The kind of love that Jesus is talking about today is a totally different kind of love. It's not romantic love, the Greek word for which is eros. The word that Jesus uses in Matthew's Gospel is agape, which biblical scholar Clayton Schmidt describes as loving kindness. Now, is that distinction important? Yes, and here's why. I hope and pray that all of the time, or at least as much as humanly possible, those of us who are married treat our spouses with loving kindness. But at least in our culture, we decide to marry our spouse initially because of romantic love. We have fallen in love, and as a result, we treat that person with loving kindness. Never, ever leaving the laundry for them to fold because we're just too tired at the end of the day. Agape, the love Jesus is speaking about today, means practicing loving kindness first, before we have any warm feelings of affection. Jesus commands us to show agape, to care for total strangers. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan man finds a wounded stranger by the side of the road and nurses him back to health. Jesus tells that parable after a lawyer, it's always the lawyers, questions him about who exactly is his neighbor that he is supposed to love as himself. The parable tells us that our neighbor isn't just the guy who lives at 10 Chestnut Street when we live at 12 Chestnut Street, but anyone in need. But if we are to love as ourselves, our neighbor who may well be totally unknown to us, how can we have an emotional attachment to that person, to someone we've never even met? Well, we can't. But practicing loving kindness can begin to increase in us affection for others, which can then in turn motivate us to practice loving kindness even more. It becomes a virtuous circle. But of course, all of that has to do with that second great commandment Jesus speaks of this morning, to love our neighbor as ourself. What about the first one? To love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. How do we love an unseen God? Well, first off, we come to live by that first commandment by practicing the second. We love God by loving God's people. Practicing loving kindness is a straight path to loving God. And there's a second path, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness. We love God by giving thanks to God for the blessings in our lives, large and small. We love God because God has loved us. To love God is to be active in seeing the blessings in our lives and giving thanks for all of them. From our family and friends, to a perfectly ripe peach in July, to a deserted beach at sunset. Giving thanks to God that you have the opportunity and the ability to love your neighbor as yourself may be the best thanks to give, as it brings together both the first and greatest commandment and the second that is like unto it. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen.